My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to The Collective, where you'll hear all things collecting and much, much more. I am your good-looking host, Zach Moe, also known as Pancreatic Stem Cell Research.
And I'm your better-looking host, Collector, also known as Collector. What? Pancreatic Stem Cell Research?
Yeah.
I don't know who's ever called you that.
I
definitely am
nobody.
Not. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying something new.
All right. Well, PSCR. Pancreatic Stem Cell Research.
Research. Yeah, that was good. Yep. PSCR. PSCR.
Yep. PSCR.
Pisker.
Zach Moe, better known as Pisker.
There you go.
So it's on you, bud.
Let me ask you a question. I have questions for you.
Yep, I got answers.
How was your week in collecting?
You know, I thought you might ask that.
Yeah. Seems on trend.
My week in collecting was good. We got Stellar Crown drop this week. We started ripping Stellar Crown. I am a huge fan of Stellar Crown for multiple different reasons.
It's pretty solid.
And I've really enjoyed ripping Stellar Crown. Really, really, really enjoyed it. I ripped a handful for myself. A majority of it was on stream. But you know, between trades and whatever extras and stuff, I ended up getting a couple Dosh buns. Two of the full arts, one for each of my kids, and then one of the SIRs for my wife. Dashbun looks just like my dog, so I was pretty excited about that. That was a nice little addition to the collection. What else did I obtain for my collections this week? This is a sneak peek. I just obtained some Mighty Morphin Power Rangers sealed packs of trading cards. So be on the lookout. Some will be for me, but yes, I'm going to stream those if people want them. It might be something that people don't want. Like, I'm a huge Power Rangers fan, but
very niche. Yeah.
Right. You either will want to rip those a lot and be super stoked that I have them, or you'll be like, I'm not even going to watch this, but I'm excited for them to get here.
Whenever you get like niche things like that, they always sell out.
A few people. Yeah. I didn't get to. I got 50 packs, and I'll keep whatever doesn't sell. I'll just keep for myself. I still have my childhood binder of Power Ranger cards. So that was cool. I was excited about that. And, what else? There was one other thing. Oh yeah. Today this happened today, which is awesome. In the wild, I found, these old EV tins. That Sylveon is on them, but I think they were called the EVV tins. Mm-hmm. And they have two packs of evolving, a pack of brilliant and a pack of fusion. So as a sealed collector, that was pretty exciting. I found three of them at Target. I opened one immediately, like while I was walking around in Target to see what packs were in it. I was obviously going to buy it no matter what packs were in it. And I don't advise that you do that. Don't do that unless you're definitely buying it no matter what. But I was buying it no matter what. And I was like with my wife and kids.
At a Walmart.
But yeah, it had the good packs. So I took the other two as well. So that was a dope find. That was really cool. Cause those things, like finding evolving skies in the wild is getting harder and harder.
Did you rip the packs?
I ripped a Brilliant and Fusion and hit a Butterfree Hollow. The two evolving packs are right next to me right here. They'll probably make their way to stream at some point. I'm running so low on evolving and I can't find any more. I had it lined up. I was supposed to get another 50 packs this week, but it fell through. So
teasing I need to find us. He has them right in front of him.
Yeah, but like with the background, like you could see how terrible the background is. Oh yeah, that got here this week too. You see those boxes back there?
No, I see
those
you
cardboard
waving.
Boxes behind my hand.
Sure.
The whole room is stacked with Sam's Club boxes.
Full of what?
Sea and Sky collections, Crown Zenith Sea and Sky collections.
Nice.
I have them like wrapping around the entire room behind me. I got a lot of those this week. I forgot about that. Those are also for long hold sealed collection. I'm not going to sell the boxes are huge. I'm not selling them on stream. So that's just sealed collection long hold. It's like such a good product.
Should get a storage unit.
So people do that. Like a lot of sealed collectors have storage units, but it really eats into your ROI because let's say your storage unit costs like $200 a month. That means your product has to appreciate more than $200 a month in value. Like whatever's in your storage unit has to appreciate more than $200 every single month.
Okay. So you have a yard, get one of those shacks.
I can't fit a shack in my backyard. I have two sheds currently. This is my backyard setup. I have two sheds, a playground, a very small pool, a garden, a gazebo, a very small yard area, a fire pit area, and like a little patio. Then literally like every square inch of yard is accounted for.
You want to hear my yard?
So, sure. What's your New York City yard look
I'm
like?
I'm on the second floor. I don't have one.
You're in the old garden apartment.
Yep. That's a pretty solid week in collecting, though.
Yeah, I don't think there was really much else. I got, I got a Kill Tony t-shirt. I think that was maybe 2 weeks ago. And it came with a sticker, and I was stoked when I got the Kill Tony sticker. Which was like, oh, maybe people feel that excited about my stickers when they get them. So I was like, that's pretty cool. I think people like the stickers. I've had so many complaints when I forget stickers. I got new stickers too.
I always complain when you don't send me a sticker.
Yeah, I know. You complain about everything though. I got new stickers. Let me see.
I'm Jewish. It's what we do.
Hey, yo. I do not share that sentiment. Hold, please.
I'm allowed to say it. He took his headset off. I'm Jewish. I can say that I complain. Because, you know, us Jews, we complain. There's not enough schmear on my bagel. I like good schmear and lox on my bagels. Us Jews, we complain. This is fun with him not listening. He's putting his headset back on. Never mind.
Okay, I'm back. So okay, cool. If you're a podcast listener, this is exclusive. This is how I had no idea how I was going to give these out, but now I know. If you're listening to this podcast, the first five people that comment sticker on YouTube, right? Is there a different way to do it on any of the other channels?
No, you can't comment.
All right, first five people get this limited edition. Oh, you can't see it.
Nope.
No,
it's gonna be a surprise for us all. Oh, there it is.
It's a die cut, but it's holographic.
So it's the first one. In that?
No, first five people get a holographic die cut collector's club sticker. First five people that comment sticker on YouTube will get one of those shipped with their next order, and then I'll have like runner-up prizes as well. But I was stoked on that. The new stickers are here. They're looking good. Basically just planning on finishing out the old stickers first, and then I'll switch over to the new stickers, all the die cut ones with the QR code on them.
Nice. I'm proud.
So, and did I say that I updated my Kamiya binder last time? I don't know if I talked about that yet, but that's another thing that's happened. It's another thing that's happened somewhat recently. I've updated my Kamiya binder and got it nice and organized. And I'm obviously missing a ton of stuff still. But that's about it for me. Nothing else crazy in my collecting world.
Mine was terrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Save it. Let's talk about it into it next week. And then you can have a bad week and hopefully a good week.
Okay. I don't want to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear about a Pokemon. Did you learn about a Pokemon? You don't want to hear about it.
Well, first of all, you're jumping the gun. Second of all, you You wouldn't hear about it because you were there. You ripped it off.
It was a break. It was a single booster box break. I said five times that was a bad idea.
And then the ETB.
The ETB sucked. Look, dude, I didn't want to do a single booster box break. You guys asked for it. The Collectors Club populace wanted one. I had to fill the eighth spot by giving my wife a spot. And I don't like breaking single booster boxes unless they're old boxes and they're very expensive. Then it makes sense. But new boxes, doing a single box break is not the best.
No. I have another question for you, though.
Yes, what's up?
What's happening in the market?
That's a great question, Zachmo. I'm glad you asked. Not a ton, comparatively to other weeks. We do have some movement because Paradise Dragona came out. Which is the newest Japanese set. So Paradise Dragona is introducing obviously new singles to the market. The main chase in Paradise Dragona, like the hardest to pull SAR, the Terastalized SAR, like how Terrapagos is the SAR chase in Stellar Crown. In Paradise Dragona, it's a Alolan Exeggutor, and the card is next to worthless already. It's like selling for like $30, $35. So not a very strong chase. However, the Latias and the Lissia cards are commanding quite a bit. Latias selling for about $100. Lissia selling for about $300 right now. So definitely taking down that waifu tax. Lissia is a very popular trainer. She's already done this. What we already saw this happen one time with Incandescent Arcana. When that set came out, Lissia was in there as a character rare, and that card became very, very expensive very quickly for no reason other than people like Lissia. So, yeah, it's exciting. I can't wait to rip it. It's going to be super fun. We'll have it this weekend. It's already shipping. It just got held up. That's why we didn't have it last weekend, but we'll have it this weekend on stream. And, yeah, got some new singles. Terrapagos holding pretty steady, like 120-ish. My projection is that we'll end up with a roughly $100 card. I don't see it spiking to like 300 like Greninja did. I think it'll probably be worth around 100. And then we have, you know, Squirtle and Bulbasaur, both commanding pretty good prices, $30-$40. And then Lacy, probably about $50-$60. Probably a settle around $50. You'll have Squirtle and Bulbasaur probably in the 40 to 50 raw range for right now. But the PSA 10 art rares from Shrouded Fable are very expensive. And I called this back when Shrouded Fable first came out. I talked about it on stream. The PSA 10 art rares are like that Persian, for example, selling for like $225 already in a PSA 10, which is crazy, crazy. But they're hard to grade, and that's why they're commanding those prices. So
and hard to pull.
Hard to pull, hard to grade. So good for people who like Shrouded Fable and have a bunch of it. I've submitted a ton of those, so hopefully we get some 10s back. I would love to see that. And 151 still creeping up. We got a reprint, kind of. We got like more booster bundles introduced in very, very, very small quantities. Nothing large like we were expecting or hoping. So maybe we'll still get a 151 reprint. ECBs are literally $75 to $80 a piece right now, like market price. It's crazy. It's wild. Way quick for that to happen with a set. So 151, I'm still expecting some kind of reprint. Twilight Masquerade still super strong, 145, 150 a box. A brand new set for the most part. I mean, it's two sets old. That's crazy for a box to hit that price that quick. And this is something that nobody will remember unless they've been collecting for a long time. The last time we saw that happen was actually with Battle Styles. That was one of the most recent sets to go up in price that quickly. where it just like didn't make sense that it was going up so fast. And it was just because of like the timing of the market and the amount that was printed. And then eventually with Battle Styles, we got like a huge reprint and that just crushed the price. So Twilight Masquerade, very strange to see such a quick rise in price, but a very strong set grounded by Greninja. Greninja still performing super well. Stellar Crown also holding really strong. Normally those prices drop really quick, but people are realizing like, hey, we're not getting reprints of this set, so we should probably not sell them $2 above distribution cost. Like, mm-hmm. we can slow down for a couple of weeks and like be a little more calm the way we're selling this. And, you know, you're seeing like what happens a lot is you get people into the market, and as soon as a set comes out, they're like, let's say they're new and they're just trying to get their distribution numbers up. They take on way more product than they can reasonably sell. And then they're stuck underneath the product. They've got all their money tied up in this one set, and they need to free it up for the next set that comes out. And the sets are coming out rapid fire fast right now. So yeah, they have to dump the product to get that money back. And they basically dump it, make virtually nothing, you know, a couple hundred dollars for, you know, $30,000 worth of volume. They make a few hundred bucks and then they just rinse and repeat. And we're finally starting to see that like slow down a little bit because we're not getting reprints of any of these sets. The only Scarlet Violet set we saw reprinted was Base. We haven't gotten reprints of anything yet. So likely when we see reprints, we'll probably see 151 for the holiday season. I still think that'll happen, but that's creeping up quick. Then the next one we'll most likely see is Paldea Evolved. That would make sense because that's Scarlet Violet 2. And then we'll see Obsidian. They might skip Obsidian because it was just not super popular. But then we'll see like Paradox, Temporal, Twilight.
I like Obsidian, as you know.
A lot of people rip Obsidian.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as popular. And because it wasn't as popular, there's still a healthy supply of Obsidian. It is going up in price. I think we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that was a really loud one. I think we talked about it a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Obsidian's still like pretty healthy price tag for a set that a lot of people would say isn't very strong. Mm-hmm. But not ripped as much as something like Paldea or Twilight. Those are sets that like people are chasing to the ground. The cool thing about Stellar Crown, I think, and I'm interested to see like how this turns out in the market long term, it's a very small set. And because it's a very small set, it feels like the pull rates are good. Like they feel great.
From watching stream, they look pretty good.
Yeah, they feel really good. I've been pulling well on it. It's like the polar opposite of Shrouded Fable, which is weird because Shrouded is also a relatively small set. So I'm not sure why. I think the pull rates on Shrouded are just totally different because it's a specialty set. It was way tougher. We pulled so many Terrapagus.
The answer may just be Shrouded.
It could be. Yeah, it could be that. But we pulled tons of SIRs. We pulled really well with Stellar Crown.
And I saw you pull at least five Terrapagus.
Yeah, I pulled 7 to 10. I don't remember exactly how many, but definitely seven at the minimum.
Damn.
In like whatever, 3 or 4 streams.
Yeah.
We pulled a lot of that card. I think I only opened 7 cases of booster boxes and 3 cases of ETBs. So we're averaging like almost one per case.
It's pretty good.
Very good. Greninja's like 1 every 4 cases is basically what it worked out to after I did my own analysis. This is not like real analysis. This is just like my personal experience. This is my anecdotal experience with the pull rates. Greninja's much harder than Terrapagus. Which is why it's much more expensive as well. But yeah, overall, the market looking pretty good, very healthy. A lot of people who like are Pokemon investors would say we're in like a bull market right now, where it's a great time to like buy and hold anything sealed. Singles always fluctuate no matter what the market conditions are. But right now, a very, very strong time for Pokemon. So if you are a sealed collector, hold the line. Unless you need to recoup some money, in which case you should theoretically already have gains. If you bought basically anything Scarlet Violet before Twilight Masquerade, it's all worth more than what you would have paid for it then. So good job.
Good job, guys. Buy high, sell low, like I always say.
Buy high, sell low. That's the secret. Mm-hmm. All right, now, Zach Moe, it's your turn to teach us.
Let me learn you something. So, this week, Pokemon Highlight was suggested by our good friend Drew.
Solid. Shout out, Drew.
Shout out, Drew. I can't speak. He suggested Arcanine, which is a Pokemon, as you know, I love. So I was very excited to do some research on it.
Fire suggestion, for sure.
What did you say? Fire suggestion.
Fire suggestion. Absolutely.
Yes. So, in doing my research, Arcanine is definitely known for its speed. It is said to have, it can travel 6,200 miles per day, which is a lot of miles.
That's a lot of miles.
That is a lot of miles. Going into what it was based off of, it's based off of Shisha. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Shisha. And it is, no shot I can pronounce this word. Ryukyuan, culture of China. It's basically it's like a mythical lion and dog type creature. And it's actually, most likely you've seen these. They're fairly popular, I believe. They look like little dog lions. They're always outside of a house.
Yeah, they're food dogs.
Right, so they're called the Shisha.
I wonder if food dog is like the Japanese version. Possibly. I used to sell them at an old job that I had. We sold food dog statues.
Well,
oh, no, I'm Chinese learning. Guardian lion, food dog. Yeah, it's like the stone version of it. It's called a food dog.
All right. Well, I guess then the actual creature was called a Shisha.
Yeah.
Shisha.
Oh my god, there's so many sick tattoos of Arcanine as a food dog.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, they see
Pokemon Highlight and he's just Googling shit.
I'm listening to you and I'm learning at the same time. These tattoos are sick. Keep going.
So the Shishas were placed outside of homes to ward off evil spirits. And there's a story that a Shisha came to a village. No. I'm telling you it wrong. I read it before and I didn't screenshot it like an idiot. Some dude wound up in a village with a Shisha necklace, and the village was being attacked by a dragon serpent type, I almost said Pokemon, mythical creature that closely resembled Gyarados, which is interesting. And the Shisha had warded it off and protected the town. And the story gets better. I'm sure it gets a lot better if it's not told by me. But yeah. Also, Arcanine is a legendary Pokemon. And it was supposed to be a part of the legendary in Blue and Red. I don't know if many people know that. Did you know that?
I did know that. But I don't think everybody knows that. I did know that. So Arcanine was like in the Dex. Arcanine's Dex entry has him labeled as legendary, but
I remember reading a long time ago that they decided that the dog didn't go with the birds.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Articuno, Zapdos, and Arcanine was the original legendary trio.
Right. And then they decided to nix that.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And so they made it the three birds, but it was supposed to be the two birds and Arcanine, mm-hmm. which, I mean, if you look at it, it is a very legendary looking Pokemon. Pretty fucking dope.
Agreed.
Huge fucking dog. So it has the features of a dog, a canine, lion, and tiger. It's pretty cool. I like them.
Agreed. Arcanine's fucking dope. Arcanine's a super dope Pokemon.
It is.
So 6,200 miles in a day.
Yes,
means Arcanine is running 258.33 miles per hour. in order for someone to travel 6,200 miles in a 24-hour time span. That would be if he ran without stopping at all. Let's assume a 2-hour rest between
for various
naps. That would put him running 281.81 miles an hour. That's nuts.
Well, let's say he did it in an hour. That's 6,200.
Yeah, you got it. That's how that math works. I was like, wait a minute, what? All right, let me show you this sick-ass tattoo real quick.
Okay.
For those of you that can't see, sorry.
Tattoo.
Sucks to suck. Check us out on YouTube. Wow. How sick is that, bro? That's fire. That's a Japanese-style tiger.
It's exactly what a tiger would be.
It's like the shisha.
Right, but that's exactly... No, but I'm saying the style is traditional Japanese, and it would have been a tiger, usually.
Such a sick-ass tattoo.
That's actually dope. A really sick tattoo.
All right.
You want to pay for it? I'll put it on my back.
No. But yeah, Arcanine, super dope. I do know about the legendary bit about Arcanine. I did not know that it was based on those specific animals, but when you said it, it made sense. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh yeah, food dogs, because I'm familiar with food dogs. And they actually, as I was Googling, they say that Growlithe is like a food dog. So I guess maybe a food dog is like a smaller version, or like the Hisuian Growlithe is a food dog, and then like Shisha is like the evolved form or whatever. But yeah, Arcanine's super dope. That was a good one.
I was also reading
good pick
that Hisuian Arcanine eats rocks. And
what? Dirt. Why?
It eats rocks and dirt from lava eruptions to maintain its body. I don't know why. That's what it does.
It eats rocks?
Yeah.
Where did you read that?
I don't know. In some thread somewhere, maybe on Reddit. I don't remember. I was reading a lot.
Rockhead Hisuian Arcanine. I don't see it. I Google searched Hisuian Arcanine eats rocks. That's crazy.
That's what I read. It eats rocks and dirt to maintain its coat, I might have said, or body. I don't remember.
All right. Well, I guess I'll have to look that up. It checks out. I mean, Hisuian Arcanine is fire and rock type.
Exactly.
So.
I'm just telling you what I read.
To maintain.
Just put that, because I don't know what the rest of the word was.
No, it doesn't say that. I don't see it. But I believe you. I'm sure it's somewhere on the intergoogles.
Yeah.
I was just trying to find out why. But that's okay. I'm sure it exists. That's a very cool fact about Arcanine. He and Cam Patterson both really like rocks.
That they do. And neither of them are ours. Mentally challenged.
Okay. All right. Well, on today's episode of How to Get Canceled Quickly.
I tried being politically correct on it.
All right. I don't know.
Whatever. I don't know if
that's politically correct. Anything else you want to say about Arcanine?
It evolves from Growlithe.
It does. Okay. So, I want to talk about something this week that I don't think we've delved into pretty much at all. This is off the cuff, listeners, so you'll have to forgive us for when we stumble upon questions that one of us doesn't know the answer to. But I want to talk Marvel, another huge, huge collectible IP, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. Many, many different facets of the Marvel universe can be collected by people. Mm-hmm. Something that has been a big part of my life for a long time. And I just wanted to get your take on it. You and I have never talked about this.
Well, so, half my Funko Pops are Marvel.
All right. So let's talk Marvel, man. What Marvel do you like? What Marvel do you not like?
All right, well, I'll hit you with my favorite Marvel characters. Maybe we'll start off there.
All right. Should we do like top three?
Okay. Spider-Man.
Hold on. Oh man. I was going to say we should write them down, but Spider-Man's not my number one anyway. So that's fine.
Spider-Man, Hulk. And who would be my third? maybe Logan. I mean, it really depends on where we're talking. Are we talking MCU? Are we talking comics? Are we talking cartoons?
So that's the thing about Marvel, right? Like, is it does it have to be separated by that? Do we have to identify it by
not necessarily
comics versus movies? Because, for example, Fantastic Four, awesome comics. I loved Fantastic Four.
You didn't the movies? What? Those movies were great. I don't give a shit.
They weren't bad, but like the comics were amazing.
It was peak Jessica Alba.
Look, Jessica Alba in any situation is peak. But the comics I like a lot better than the movies versus something like Spider-Man. You know, I think that translated to the screen much better. And the same for X-Men, in my opinion. I'm not saying X-Men comics are bad by any in any way, but I feel like the X-Men universe is so expansive in the comic world, and they did a great job capturing that on the screen.
Well, shrink it down.
Exactly.
Right.
I feel like Fantastic Four was a little campy as a movie.
I mean, I still enjoyed it, but I agree with you. I get what you mean.
Flame on! Like, come on. Could we have done better?
No. It was Chris Evans.
I think we could have done better.
At his peak. Just on Not Another Teen Movie. He was hot.
Yeah, he was. All right, so we had Spider-Man, Hulk. Interesting. We got to revisit that. And then maybe Logan for number three.
Maybe Logan. That's a tough one for me. I do have quite a few Deadpool pops. But that's just because of the movies, really. I had never really gotten to Deadpool comics. Yeah, so I guess I can give you my top two, which is Spider-Man and Hulk.
Got it. Neither are in my top two. And if we go to top two, it becomes a little harder. For sure, number one is Gambit.
Okay.
That's like 100%. That's number one. Number two? That's a tough choice, man.
All right, well, Logan's, if you have three, give
Logan
me three.
For sure is a contender.
Right.
You don't get
better than Logan. That's why.
I know.
Like, when I was thinking three, Logan was right there. That was the first one that popped into my head.
Gambit's always been my favorite because I have liked playing cards and, like, hand magic, like sleight of hand magic. And I've collected playing cards for a really long time. So Gambit's always been a favorite of mine, or my favorite, I guess. Logan is just, like, all around badass. So it doesn't, like you're saying, like, it really doesn't get too much better. He's probably going to be on, like, 90% of people's top five, let's say. Like 90% of Marvel fans would put him top five.
You have to. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I like Nightcrawler and Beast like a lot.
So you're really an X-Men.
I'm not like all X-Men, but I just like them as if I'm only talking about one singular character.
Well, no. So far, your top four have all been X-Men.
I know, but I'm only like, who else? Like, Nightcrawler is dope, dude. I used to play as Nightcrawler in Marvel versus DC on Sega
Genesis. Have you ever played Nightcrawlers?
I don't
know. Shout out to Always Sunny fans. You'll get that. Go ahead.
Okay. So Nightcrawler, I think, is super dope. But, like, other characters, like the Thing, for example, like, I don't think he stands alone as, like, a top five. Despite, I really like his character, but is he a top five Marvel character?
No, not for me.
And then, who else is a contender? Like, I know for you, you said Hulk and Spider-Man. So for me, Spider-Man is not close to the top.
Maybe it's a New York City thing.
I don't like what's happened with the Spider-Man franchise.
What?
I don't like the Miles Morales game. I don't like how
Miles Spider-Man Morales has fantastic.
Evolved into. I feel like Spider-Man's gotten very watered down. I don't
in
feel
the
MCU?
Same.
In the Marvel Universe in general, yeah. I mean, I haven't kept up with the comics, but
let's talk MCU. The games are fantastic.
I'm not saying they're not good games. They have great playability, but it's watered down Spider-Man, especially Miles Morales.
In what sense is watered down? Give me an example, because I'm I'm not comprehending what you're saying.
Similar to how I felt about Fantastic Four, the appeal to everyone, money grab, felt more important than staying true to Spider-Man and who Spider-Man was and capturing any level of like darkness and grit that existed.
Now, again, I'm asking, where are you pulling this from? Are you pulling this from the MCU? Are you pulling it from the games?
Well, for Miles Morales, I'm talking about the game for sure.
Miles Morales game, I'll give you that. That game was put out, I feel, too quickly. It wasn't as long as it should have been. It was a very short game. I cannot remember if the PS5 had just came out, and that's why they released it so soon to package them together. So I'll give you that. I like Miles Morales. I think it's a good character. I enjoy it. I think they finally, this is my opinion. Obviously, this is all going to be opinion based.
Yeah.
But like MCU wise, Spider-Man, I think they finally nailed it.
With what rendition?
They finally nailed Peter Parker. Being a kid in high school who is coming into his powers. And all that. Like, I always felt like they always had take Spider-Man 1, Tobey Maguire. He was a great Spider-Man. I love Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. Great Spider-Man. But he also didn't come off too much as a teenager that Peter Parker is.
Yeah, I can see that. But it was dark and gritty, that movie, which is why I really liked it.
Well, that's because they had Willem Dafoe.
Exactly.
And I mean, you cannot go wrong with
Willem they Dafoe. Had the darkness of the Green Goblin captured. Right. To me, right. Green Goblin is the most, and I'm going to really go on a limb here, and I'm going to reference the DC universe a little bit, but Green Goblin is the most like Arkham-like character that we have in the Spider-Man universe.
I would agree with that. That's fair. That's a fair statement.
And definitely. That was captured extremely well. But I feel like as the MCU has continued to expand and they've tried throwing all these different things at the wall to keep Spider-Man relevant, they've lost that grit, that darkness. That's how I feel about it.
Okay. But also looking at how the MCU is being Disney, I'm not saying that Disney doesn't have the grit. I'm saying that they're keeping, I guess, Spider-Man away from the grit specifically.
Right. I agree.
Specifically.
And I don't think that's inherently a bad thing, but that knocks him out of my top ranking for my lifetime.
Well,
I've experienced Spider-Man going from a child reading Spider-Man comics into adulthood, having this new sort of perception of Spider-Man. He's lost his luster. The first Spider-Man game, dude, when that game came out, killer. Super great game. Really well designed, totally altered like the way that we interact with open worlds, with web slinging. That was the first game that had any mechanic like that.
Yeah.
And it was super badass.
Came from the sky.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. Like that game, I would web sling for hours, bro. Just whoop, whoop, like no rhyme or reason. Just the same way I play GTA, where I would just play, just to mess around. And then I feel like Miles Morales most recently like lost it. Spider-Man 2, great game. Can't knock it. But I feel like Miles Morales is like a pretty big
flop.
Chink in the Spider-Man armor, you know?
Yeah, you really hate that game.
I don't hate the game. I have the game. I have it. I've played it. But it's like just not.
They dropped the ball with that game. I'm not disagreeing with that. But Miles
and then Morales, when I compare it to something a like
good character. Miles Morales is still a good character.
I think he's pretty cool, but like, I don't see it as even like a necessary creation.
Well, you can say that understand about a lot of
the
things.
Direction of it, but I don't feel that way about Avengers. Like anything that's happened in the Avengers universe, I don't feel like there was like unnecessary ads. Maybe it could be argued at first that Ant-Man was a strange ad, but I personally love the Ant-Man movies. And Ant-Man as a character and the way they portray Ant-Man, good to me. Perfect. Some people might argue Ant-Man, weird. Like, we didn't need to integrate Ant-Man. But I liked Ant-Man quite a bit.
I agree. I love those movies.
And
I just like, you know, Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd's awesome as Ant-Man.
Definitely.
The movie, not only are the movies fantastic, but the character is fantastic, and Paul Rudd does a great job playing Ant-Man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And what I like about Ant-Man is that he's always, like in comics and in other appearances throughout Marvel, he's always like this kind of like starstruck, like, I don't belong here, but I'm here kind of person.
You know? They really captured that in the movie. Cause...
Right. But then I feel like that's how, like, I hate to keep harping on this, but like, they made Spider-Man that way, you know, like,
well,
that doesn't make sense to me. Spider-Man should be this like standalone, absolute top-notch superhero.
Well, he's just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He's not. I mean, in the comics, yes, I'll give you that. But in the MCU, they took it a different direction.
They did. I feel like what happened with Spider-Man, now that we're talking about it, Spider-Man has gone backwards in age and in depth and grit and weight, whereas they've evolved the rest of. Not the entirety, but a lot of the other Marvel universe has evolved. Go ahead, call your timeout, and I'll defend my case.
Going back to they lost the grittiness. Did you watch the last one?
I don't even know what it's called. Maybe
No Way Home.
Yeah, that was. Oh no! I watched Homecoming.
So you missed two of them.
Maybe. I think I got
Far From
tired of
Home
it.
And No Way Home. No yeah, Way Home was actually pretty fucking dark and gritty.
All right, well, I'll have to give it a watch. But
now
I think
that I'm
between,
thinking about it. And
between Homecoming and Miles Morales, I was like, what's happened to Spider-Man?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but to me, I'm not telling you, I'm telling our audience to correct me if I'm wrong. But to me, that No Way Home felt pretty dark and gritty. There were some real dark moments in there. And I'm surprised you haven't watched it, to be honest.
It may have come out.
It's my favorite.
It may have come out at like baby time, like around when I had one of the kids. So that could have precluded. Like, I still haven't seen Deadpool versus Wolverine, which is a tragedy.
It is.
But I'll make my way out to see it eventually. I'm behind on a lot of the movies.
No Way Home should be on the top of your list.
All right. I'll add it.
I think that was my favorite one out of the MCU ones. You said you wanted to go back to the Hulk.
Yeah, but I had a different point that I was making. Hold on. And then we'll revisit the Hulk as to why the Hulk doesn't make the top.
I did time out.
You TO'd me. But good earmark on the Hulk. We'll go back to that. So I thought you were going to maybe defend Spider-Man in a sense. But the point that I was going to make is, like, who is Wolverine?
Logan.
Okay, who plays Wolverine? Right?
Hugh Jackman.
Okay. And it's always been Hugh Jackman. And we've watched, in my opinion, we've watched Wolverine go from young, fit Hugh Jackman to now significantly older, still fit, still badass. But we've watched his character. We've watched his character age. And it's been the same for throughout all the Avengers movies, right? We made it all the way to Endgame with pretty much the same, almost every single person played by the same character or same actor.
Except for Colonel Rhodes, I think, but yeah.
Almost all the, you know, major characters, right? Spider-Man, we've seen
three.
And it seems like three. And it seems to me like they're just getting like going backwards in age and it's getting younger.
Right.
And that's maybe why I stopped at Homecoming.
But that's why I like it, because I think that they finally nailed it. Peter Parker is not supposed to be, if we're going back to the beginning of Spider-Man, if we're going to getting bit by a spider and he's fresh into Spider-Man, he's a teenager. He's in high school.
Right. But at the time, I was 7. So me, he was a grown-up superhero as a 7-year-old. You know what I'm saying? And now I'm 35 and Spider-Man's 15 or whatever.
Which he's supposed
like,
to be. This glad.
Is, I get it. But like in my head, he's gotten softer over the years and it's become more watered down. But to your point, I have not probably, I don't think I've seen No Way Home. I think the last one I saw was Homecoming.
I think you would change your tune.
Willem Dafoe is also like one of my all-time favorite actors. So
he's in No Way Home.
Fond memory of
he's in No Way Home
as Green Goblin.
Yes.
All right, I'll have to watch it for sure. I must have somehow missed the boat on that one. But let's go to the Hulk. Let's go to the Hulk. What Hulk is number two for you? Comic book Hulk? Like when you said Hulk, are you picturing comic book Hulk? Are you picturing
not MCU Hulk?
That's what I was. What's his name? Oh my God.
Mark Ruffalo.
Thank you. Mark Ruffalo Hulk. Or are we talking Lou Ferrigno Hulk?
Okay. Like, so, all right. Well, let's break that down. The Mark Ruffalo Hulk. Let's break that down for a second, because we've gotten two different Hulks with Mark Ruffalo. You've gotten actual Hulk and you've gotten Professor Hulk. Professor Hulk, not a fan of. Regular Hulk with Mark Ruffalo, loved him. I thought they did a great job with that Hulk. I don't know what it is about the Hulk, but I've always been just a fan of it. I don't know if it was the Eric Bana movie when I was a kid that just got me hooked, and then Edward Norton's fantastic portrayal of Bruce Banner.
Edward Norton is another god tier, A-list, S-tier.
S-tier.
What does an S even stand for? What the fuck is S-tier?
Super, I think. I don't know. I always thought it meant super.
Edward Norton's top-notch, though.
Yes. And he did a fantastic job playing Bruce Banner. But yeah, I don't know what it is about the Hulk. I've always just been a big fan.
I'm not knocking the Hulk at all. I don't have the same gripes with the Hulk that I do with the Spider-Man franchise. I don't put Hulk as top because I think probably because like both my mom and my dad really liked Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk.
Mm.
And it's like, I just grew up in a different era when that was there. It didn't put a sour taste. Like, he's cool. It's cool. But it's cool as like a nostalgia thing because my parents liked it. And, you know, it's just not how I perceive a superhero. And on top of that, I never really was into the Hulk comic series for whatever reason. I think I just didn't have it in my rotation. And like, so I used to read comics like weekly. I would ride my bike to the comic shop.
Yeah, I was never a big comic reader.
I read comics every week and I always had the Fantastic Four. I always had X-Men and I had Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And Hulk was never in my rotation. I think I pretty much steered entirely clear of DC. I think there was like one Batman series that I read, but pretty much like Fantastic Four, I read the most out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But X-Men I read quite a bit and Spider-Man I read quite a bit as well. But I was never like a huge Incredible Hulk fan. I don't think there was anything like new and exciting at that time when I was reading comics. I would have been reading back issues. There was nothing coming out weekly, you know. I'm sure there was something, but
there was also a PlayStation 2 game that I had that was based off of
I never played it.
It was based off of the Eric Bana movie. And that shit was fun as fuck running around as the Hulk.
Yeah, I bet.
I loved that. I remember playing that as a kid. And just destroying everything and having so much fun destroying everything.
Man, dude, I'm getting flashbacks to sidetrack from Marvel for a minute. I'm getting flashbacks of a game called Rampage. You remember that game?
Of course, N64.
Yeah, you like climb up the building and punch out the windows.
You had the gorilla. You had the lizard.
Yep. I was going to say alligator, but you're right. It's like a lizard type thing.
Was there one more?
I don't know. Yeah, there were three. I don't remember what the other one. You said gorilla. I was going to say monkey. I don't remember. We can come back to it. I'll find them.
Well, this is going to bother me. Can you Google it right now?
I am doing it right now.
Okay, that's going to bother me. And I'm sure everybody listening to this is like, what are you two fucking idiots? It was the gorilla? The big lizard?
Oh, the mouse, Curtis.
Gotcha.
It was like a crazy looking mouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess they re-released it on GameCube too. Oh, it was a different game. It's called Total Destruction. Oh, and a wolf. That's the one you're thinking of.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There was actually more than three. But this is probably moving into the GameCube era. But what you're thinking of is the Blue Wolf.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's why when you said mouse, I said yeah, but I was still.
There's unsure. There's a white mouse, but yeah, here it is, the T-shirt, the OG T-shirt. Here, I'll share screen again.
Such a dope game.
Yeah,
I loved Rampage.
We really got off topic with this one, but there's the T-shirt. Oh, whoops. Can I share this screen instead? Share this tab instead. There you go. That's actually a dope shirt.
That is. That really is.
But there's a mouse that I recognized right off the bat as well. Where was it?
That might just be fresh in my memory from you said GameCube.
Yeah.
That's maybe why I thought of that.
Curtis the mouse.
Curtis the mouse. Sounds like a scary character. Did I take my pills today? I did.
It's hard for me to screen share it. Anyway, I'll stop sharing that. Okay. Let's get back to Marvel. We can talk about Rampage and other amazing video games another time.
So I was talking about the video game and how that game was awesome.
Yes.
Have you seen Thor Ragnarok?
No. I think I put it on and fell asleep. I tried to watch it with my wife and I fell asleep.
I think that's my favorite movie in the MCU that has the Hulk in it. They really nailed it. I loved him. He was great. He was great.
I have a hard time with Thor. Always pretty much have.
I was never a huge fan until MCU. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, Chris Hemsworth is a stud.
So I'm going to tell you why I had a hard time with Thor. Have you ever seen the movie, the 1987 cult classic, Adventures in Babysitting?
I don't think I have.
Okay, well, this was... I'll share screen again. This was a character in Adventures in Babysitting. This is the first portrayal of Thor on the silver screen.
Wow.
Yep.
He
And I saw Adventures in Babysitting well before I started getting into comics and things like that. The movie came out in 87. My mom and my cousin both really liked it and we would watch it for whatever reason. So he's supposed to be Thor in the movie. Vincent D'Onofrio was the name of the character, and he portrays
Thor. Wait, can you go back to that, please?
The picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can pull it
back. Now that you just said who the actor is, I'd like to take a look.
Oh, yeah, it's him. Here, I'll show you.
For those of you who don't know who that is.
Yeah, you'll know as soon as I show it right now.
He's on Law & Order Criminal Intent. He actually is Kingpin in the MCU. Yeah, now I see it.
Yep.
That's wild. He was also the villain in Men in Black.
He's been in a ton of stuff. And whatever. Thor was always like cheesy because of that to me in my head. And that's, I realized that a lot of this is on me. Like, a lot of what I said about Spider-Man is on me. A lot of how I feel about Thor is on me. But it's my truth, man. It's just how I feel.
Well, your truth sucks.
Yeah, well, whatever. Gambit is still king.
I like Gambit, but I really like Channing Tatum as Gambit. You gotta watch the goddamn movie.
All right, relax.
No, I will not relax until you watch it. It's that good.
So you were never... I heard you say you were never into comics.
Yeah, I mean, I think I read a few. I remember reading a lot of Captain America. I was very big on Captain America as a kid.
My wife's a big fan of Captain America.
Is she a big fan of Chris Evans, or is she a big fan of Captain America?
Captain America before Chris Evans.
Okay. So yeah, I was into Captain America as a kid, and I remember reading some of those comics. I don't know why. I just really wasn't a big comic book reader. I was more cartoon.
Did you have access? Like, was there like a comic book shop?
There was. There was one literally like right up the block from me.
Oh man. It was a big part of my life for a while there. All my comics are gone now, but I had comic boxes and everything at home. I would go every single week, twice a week, I think, to the comic book store and pick up. A box at the comic book shop where, like, they had boxes for lots of people, but basically they knew like what I was reading, what new issues I was reading. And when they would come out, they would get put into my box. And so when I would go, I didn't have to like shop the store or anything. I would just go and like pick up all the newest editions of everything that I was in the middle of reading.
Like a pull box.
Yeah, not really. Like a subscription more than a pull box.
Well, I mean, they would pull the specific comics for you and put it in a box.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yes. Yes, in that regard, yes. I thought you were referring to like a pull box that people do on streams.
I don't know what that is.
A pull box? It's like the slabs are like a pull box, the way I do slabs. Oh, okay. Most people don't offer any kind of trades on a pull box. That part that I do is unique, but a pull box is just a box full of either singles or slabs, and you pick a random
now number. Now I understand.
And you get a pull. Yes. In the UK, they are called dip boxes, not pull boxes.
Well, because you dip in.
Yeah, I get it, but it's a unique thing.
So you dip in and pull.
So what did you, I'm sure you, other than, well, you said you collected Funko Pops, right? Marvel not Funko Pops? Kid,
but I have, yeah.
Did you collect anything Marvel related as a kid?
Yes.
All right, I knew we would.
And when you said Marvel, when we started the conversation, I had remembered what I used to collect. And then I lost track of that because you brought up Rampage. I used to collect Marvel cards.
Trading cards. The OG 93-94 Fleer Ultra Marvel cards. Very cool.
Sure. I don't know if that's what they were called.
They were.
There was a card shop up the block from me. It was Louis' card shop. Terribly nice guy. They're Albanian. I don't know what happened to him. And I would collect Marvel cards from them. And I remember always liking the women because they were always scantily dressed. And I was a young man
coming in. Yeah, that checks out.
Coming into myself. Coming into myself. That's what she said.
Something like this. Do these ring a bell?
Yeah, of course.
These are the 94 Fleer Ultra Marvel cards.
Yeah, you know, I think I had all these.
Yep.
And I couldn't even tell you what happened to them.
So here, well, keep going and I'll show you. I'll tell you why I knew that that's what you were talking about.
I don't know what else you want me to say about. I used to collect Marvel cards from Louis Card Shop. They were Albanian. But yeah, I definitely had, me and my brother used to go all the time. And we would buy all sorts of fucking cards. I used to also have a lot of wrestling cards, but that's neither here nor there.
It is here and there, but we'll probably talk about wrestling on a different episode. I used to have a lot of wrestling stuff too. Okay. I want to show you something. Now this is not the 94 Fleer Ultra, but I just couldn't find it quickly enough. I am going to show you why.
While he's looking.
No, it's here. I have it pulled up. This is why this was immediately on my radar, as I've heard about these and I know about them. So here we have a BGS Pristine 10. Mm-hmm. Subgrades are 10, 10, 10, edges 9, 5. This is a very, very high grade for a.
So if it was 10, 10, 10, 10, it would be a black label.
Yep.
Okay. It's good.
So this is Wolverine. This is the 1990.
Very familiar.
1990 was when this card was printed.
Okay.
What do you think this card sells for?
Oh, golly gee willikers. $8,000.
Multiply that by 10.
No, I was close.
It's an $80,000 slab. BGS 10.
Yeah, what was the last sold?
It's Pop 1. It's never been sold. That's the only one.
That's pretty
cool. I don't remember exactly what the 94 Fleer Ultra. Let me see if I could search just that.
So what I was saying before you pulled that up is that for all of our listeners, I would like to hear who your top three favorite Marvel comic book characters are. You can put it in the channel on the server. I think I finally said that correct.
Yeah, you did.
The collective, which I mean, if you've been here for, what is this, the 15th, 16th episode, you already know where to find it. Also, in our YouTube comments, you can leave it there. Also, don't forget to comment sticker.
Oh, yeah. First five, free sticker. I can't find the 94 Fleer Ultra one, but there's several very, very expensive, like, Grail Wolverine cards.
That's pretty dope.
And, yeah, I have gone through a giant collection of these. Trace, you know the name Trace from Collectors Club?
Nah. Obviously.
Oh, yeah. He runs our fantasy league.
Nah, I don't know anybody.
All right, well, Trace had found a giant box full of Marvel cards, and he had sent it to me, and we kind of went through them, and nothing was really grade-worthy, so I ended up sending it back to him. But, yeah, those Marvel cards were pretty spectacular.
Trace, send me your Spider-Man cards.
I kept a few of them, actually. He let me have a few. I don't know where they are. I'll have to dig into my memory to try to remember where the hell I put them. But I kept a few. He let me keep a few.
You already
forgot. And the rest I sent back. Dude, I have hundreds of thousands of singles.
No, what I'm saying is you already forgot to look for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have a terrible memory.
Yeah. Yep, I do. I get it. I got what you did there. All right, so you collected cards. I collected comics. You currently, Marvel-wise, collect Funko Pops, kind of.
Kind of. I haven't bought a Marvel one in a long time.
But you collected the characters you like, I assume?
Yeah, so specific. I kind of went on a spree and got a shit ton one year, like all Avengers. But I think the most that I have of would be, I have a lot of Hulk. And as you can tell, as I'm looking around my room, they're over there. I have a lot of Spider-Man. I have three Logans, I think. I have a lot of Iron Man, I think.
Iron Man is another top tier Marvel character, in my opinion.
Absolutely, yeah. Robert Downey Jr.
RDJ is...
There could never be another.
Nope. Untouchable as Iron Man. Maybe in 30 years when we're, you know, then they'll...
Well, when they need
enough
to reboot.
Time will have passed where they do a reboot, but...
But then we'll both also be saying, that's not my...
When I was younger, it was Robert Downey Jr.
He was a drug addict.
He was the perfect Iron Man.
But yeah, I mean, the Funko-wise, it's mostly... I think the only ones that I buy recently have been Spider-Man ones, like specific... what's the word? Wow, exclusives that have come out.
Got it. As I've gotten more and more into the business side of Pokemon, I've gotten farther and farther away from collecting basically anything Marvel. I don't even know the last thing Marvel I bought, really.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It's been a long time. But I'm still, you know, at my core, a big Marvel fan. So another quick question on Marvel, and then we'll go into the rankings. Maybe we'll close with this question. Who's the worst Marvel superhero? Maybe like mainstream. Don't say like some obscure something.
That's a pretty good question.
Thanks. I just thought of it.
Wow.
I didn't have a preloaded answer, but I'll give an answer and then we'll Google what the internet thinks is the worst Marvel character.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, like, give mine?
Yeah, you said I'll give you an answer.
I was waiting for your answer.
I don't have one.
I don't really have one either. It's a very tough question.
Well, do you have a few in mind? I don't know if I can answer this. Gambit.
Gambit's fucking dope.
Wow.
I mean, I really don't love Gamora, but I don't know if she's the worst.
Definitely not the worst. I like Gamora. Definitely not the worst. That's a wild statement.
I don't love Gamora. Why is that a wild statement? And I especially don't love Gamora's sister. I can't even remember her name.
Nebula. I don't know what movies you have seen, so I can't really fault you on your opinions. But I do have a Nebula signed Funko Pop by Karen Gillian. That is the actress who plays Nebula. I don't know. I think you have to ask the internet.
Yeah. Well, the internet is going super obscure, which is not surprising.
What do you see?
I want to share screen this. This is awesome. So here we have a character. You can see my mouse on yours, right? Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
We have a character here appearing in the Angel series known as Armless Tiger Man. That's pretty terrible.
How is that not the best?
In the case of the Armless Tiger Man, Golden Age Marvel antagonist lost his arms in a machine accident and then dedicated himself to destroying machines anywhere and everywhere. He's like Batman if a MacBook had killed Thomas and Martha Wayne and also chopped off Bruce Wayne's arms. What does that have to do with tigers? Tigers are mean. And do they hate machines? Whoops, sorry. Do they hate machines also? Come on. When have you ever seen a tiger use an iMac? Never. Okay,
wait. I want to go back. So okay. My top three Marvel characters are Armless Tiger Man and then Spider-Man.
All right. That second, fantastic. Second on this list, the Incredible Hulk. Just kidding. It's a character in the Incredible Hulk known as Bi-Beast. No, this is not a monster attracted to other monsters of both genders. This is a monster with two heads. The Bi-Beast has battled Hulk on numerous occasions. Call me crazy, but I mostly want to know what happens to that bottom head when the top head takes a big bite of oatmeal or soup or something.
Wait, where are the heads? Wait, right go here, back to the picture. Right
here. Here, hold on.
Top head, okay, I see.
Bottom head.
So it's like, all right, so for those of you just listening, it's like, picture like from your nose up is one head and then your nose down is another head.
Yeah, so there's the bottom head that looks just like a head, but then where the eyebrows should be on that bottom head are the bottom lip of the next head.
Yeah, which is fucking wild looking.
All right, so that was number two. Here's Bobby. Number three. This is Big Wheel. I actually remember Big Wheel. I don't think this is that bad of a character. He's not a crook riding around on a child's tricycle, but truth be told, Big Wheel isn't that far off from that. Spider-Man Nemesis got mixed up with another lesser Spidey baddie named Rocket Racer and then tried to get his revenge by convincing the crooked inventor, the Tinkerer, to build him a big wheel to ride around in. The icing on the cake, the dude's real name was Jackson Wheel. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
The Brothers Grimm from Iron Man. I don't remember these. That looks like a pretty old issue.
Yeah, look at that Iron Man.
Butterball from Avengers. Okay, that's wild.
I want to hear about Butterball.
The unfortunately named Butterball received his insulting code name from Taskmaster, the Captain America antagonist who was in charge of training recruits for the initiative during the period of Marvel history when all people with superhero powers were forced to register with the government and work for one of their officially authorized superhero teams. He possessed invulnerability, but no other powers. He wasn't strong or fast, making him a fairly ineffective fighter, a fact that was useful in the storyline like the initiative. I suppose we should at least be grateful he wasn't part of some product placement agreement with a turkey company. That's pretty awesome.
So he was just invulnerable.
Yep.
So, okay. It goes Armless Tiger Man, Butterball, and then Spider-Man.
This one's called Dirt Nap.
What?
Yeah, I'm Dirt Nap. I don't take no guff from anybody. And it's just looks
giant
like
rat.
It just looks like Master Splinter. Through the decades, the X-Men and their assorted allies have used so many different potential powers that it can sometimes be tricky to think up novel abilities no one has ever seen before. Dirt Nap had the ability to absorb other beings' life essences and copy their bodies. He's sort of like Rogue, except instead of looking like a gorgeous woman, he looks like a rat. He once absorbed a rat, and it just kind of stuck. It's so ridiculous. He might also work in a movie like Deadpool and Wolverine, but not for long.
That's awesome.
Here's a group of enemies called the Enforcers. I guess Fancy Dan was one of them. That's probably this guy in a blue suit.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Alpha Flight? What is that? The Gilded Lily. Come on. If you were an alchemist named Lily and you had a gold mask, what else are you going to call yourself besides Gilded Lily?
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Hairbag. It's also a villain. These are all villains, though. The Hypno Hustler in Spider-Man.
Butterball wasn't a villain. Oh, wait. Yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't. He was recruited for the initiative.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Butterball's not a villain.
This is wild, bro. look at this character. This is Hypno Hustler is insane.
Wait, that's his name?
Yeah, this is the Hypno Hustler.
That's awesome.
That is insane. Hypno Hustler. All right, let's read about Hypno Hustler. When disco star Antoine Desloin decided to use his hypnotic tunes to hypnotize people and then steal their money, he became the Hypno Hustler. No, I'm not making that up. Despite his outlandish concept name and costume and the fact that his entire premise arose out of a pop culture trend that ended half a century ago, Hypno Hustler keeps making comebacks. In recent years, it's been reported that Donald Glover is actually interested in playing him in a movie. Oh, that would be fire. Sony actually makes the movie is another story. Then again, they made Madam Web, so anything is possible. That's wild. Here's a character named J2.
Looks like the Juggernaut.
He was part of a Marvel Comics from the late 90s called Marvel Comics 2, which imagined a future populated by the children of contemporary Marvel heroes. He was probably child of Juggernaut. Headliner bunch was Spider-Girl, the teenage daughter of Peter Parker and Mary Jane, but the success of her comics spawned several other books, including A Next about future Avengers. Their ranks included a guy named J2, who's the son of the original Juggernaut. A concept for a character, there's nothing wrong with J2 per se, but his name makes him sound like a mall parking spot, and the fact that his costume included comically oversized Doc Martens and a flannel shirt tied around his waist sort of clashes with the whole this is set years into the future concept.
Oh, yeah, no, he's from the 90s.
Yeah. Man, this thing just keeps going. I'm like halfway down the page. All right, we gotta call this.
We do.
Here's MODAM.
Not MODOK.
No, you think MODOK, a mental organism designed only for killing, is scary? Wait till you see MODAM, a mental organism designed for aggressive maneuvers. And this MODAM is a lady. Yes, a female MODOK. Joined the Marvel Universe in the early 1990s. Why didn't they call her Madam? I will never know, and I will forever be angry about it. There it is, MODAM. All right.
MODAM.
Well, there's a lot of terrible characters in the Marvel Universe, as it turns out, but I will, from now on, be going to every Halloween party as the Hypno Hustler.
I'm going to be Armless Tiger Man.
That's fire. You can be Toeless Tiger Man.
Because I only have 9.
Yep, I got that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is officially time for our blind Pokemon rankings. I don't know if it's everybody's favorite, but it is my favorite. So if you've listened this far, now you get to listen to our blind Pokemon rankings. This week, we are on Gen 7. We're getting close, bro. This is... No,
but we were on 6.
No, 6 was XY. We did that last week, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is Sun and Moon. So we're going
to pay attention to you.
Yeah, Sun and Moon this week, which means next week is Sword and Shield, and then the week after that is Scarlet Violet. So we're really cooking through this. So I'm going to generate, for those of you, if this is your first time seeing this, I'm going to randomly generate 15 fully evolved Pokemon in their default form type. And we are going to choose.
So the first part of the ranking
We do 10. I'm going to generate 10. And we're going to rank them blindly, 1 through 10, but we're going to do it one at a time. I apologize for misexplaining it. So I'm going to generate 10 Pokemon in a row, and Zach, Mo, and I are going to rank them from worst to first without knowing the next 9 Pokemon. First Pokemon from the Sun and Moon era, fully evolved form, is Wishiwashi.
Great.
Starting out really strong here.
Okay.
Second Pokemon from Sun and Moon, we got Bruxish.
Great.
Third Pokemon from Sun and Moon, we got Passimian.
Stop auto-correcting. Okay.
Fourth Pokemon from Sun and Moon, we got Lurantis.
This sucks.
Fifth Pokemon from Sun and Moon, we got Pheromosa.
That's why I'm on Ozempic.
Sixth Pokemon from Sun and Moon, Oranguru. Passimian again. I got to reroll that. Tapu Fini. So we have three spots left.
That's a water one. Yeah, it's the water one.
I don't remember Tapu Fini's typing.
It's water. I'm looking at it. It's water.
All right. Tapu Fini. Next. Decidueye.
Okay.
Stakataka. And finally, Kamo'o.
What is it?
Kamo'o.
What is it?
Kamo'o. You say it.
Is it Kamo'o? I think I throw in an extra O.
Kamo'o.
Oh. Kamo'o. Kamo'o. I don't know. That sounds like I'm having a freaking aneurysm when I say it.
All right. 10. Well, Sun and Moon with a weak showing for 10 randomized Pokemon. Holy shit.
I hate this list.
My list is also pretty atrocious.
Coming in at number 10, I got Wishy Washy.
I also have Wishy Washy as number 10.
I'm guessing your next one's going to be Bruxish.
Bruxish. Yep.
At 8, I put Furamosa.
I have Kamo'o.
7, I have Lurantis.
Passimian.
6, I have Decidueye.
Lurantis.
5, I have Oringaroo.
Furamosa.
4, I have Passimian. I like Passimian.
Tapu Fini.
3, I have Fini.
Stakataka.
2, I have Stakataka.
Oranguru.
And then 1, I have Kamo'o. Oh, Kamo'o. Oh, God.
I have Decidueye as number 1, and I stand by that.
Switching these around, I would put Passimian at 1. Lemurs are one of my favorite animals, so I really like Passimian.
I would actually keep my top 3, given just these 10 Pokemon. Decidueye, Oranguru, Stakataka.
I would do Passimian, Oranguru, and then...
I actually don't think I would change any of these.
I like it. I'd switch a few around.
I wouldn't. Passimian, so 5, 6, and 7, Furamosa, Lurantis, and Passimian, you could shuffle those any way you want. For me.
Right, okay.
But Decidueye, Oranguru, Stakataka, Tapu Fini, those are the top 4. Those would stay. And Kamo'o, Bruxish, and Wishiwashi, bottom 3, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, oh, God. Now we have to try to make a battle party out of those 6?
That sounds terribly hard.
That's what we do next, right?
Yeah, it's not hard. I can tell you off the bat who I'm taking. I'll wait till you're done. If you were playing along, let us know in the comments your ranking. If you weren't playing along, you can just let us know your top 3 if you want, or your favorite out of the 10. Just let us know.
Yeah, do that.
Do that. I'm taking Passimian, Oranguru, Decidueye, Tapu Fini, Stakalaka, and Furamosa.
All right, so I'm taking Kamo'o over Passimian, and I'm taking that hands down. Absolutely.
They're both fighting.
Kamo'o's mad strong.
So is Passimian. It's a huge-ass fucking lemur. Nope, now he's going to go to
every
Google.
Every fucking week, man.
And then he's going to gaslight me.
Every fucking week, bro.
Every week he gaslights me. I didn't say that. What are you talking about?
Kamo'o's Ice and Rock, HP 180, Attack 115. Where's this comment about
Ice and Rock?
Oh, that's Hisuian. My bad. That's Hisuian Kamo'o.
To confuse the fuck out of me.
What can defeat Kamo'o? Zerkatree, Primarina, Gramble, Rapidash. How good was Kamo'o actually? Kamo'o is an effective stealth rock setter.
Kamo'o is not rock. You're looking at Hisuian again.
Or Passimian. Let's try this. Oops, I spelled Passimian wrong. This one just says, Passimian has a cool design, but Kamo'o is great too.
I like that person's style.
Hot take, Kamo'o is one of the best pseudo legendaries.
That's a hot take. That's somebody's opinion.
Next article. I fucking love Kamo'o. It's my favorite pseudo legendary.
All right, let's go with the 15.
All right. All right. 15, all Sun and Moon era. And we got to make a battle party from these 15. Here we go. Ooh, these are way better. For those of you that are just listening, we have Beware, Celesteela, Serena, Ribombee, Zerkatry, Togedemaru, Guzzlord, Kamo'o, Passimian, Primarina, Crabominable, Wishiwashi, Vikavolt, Drampa, and Kamala.
Kamala?
What do you call it?
We go back down? Yep, it's Kamala.
Yeah.
Koala, Komala. I don't know. Okay. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom. What are the bottom three again?
Vikavolt, Drampa, and Komala.
And boom. I got him.
You always do this faster than I do.
And I always win.
Not always.
Most of the time. I'd say it's like a
6-7-6. I don't know. I'm just putting that because that's what I want to take.
I think you should take Togo tomorrow.
I'm not taking Togo tomorrow.
I think you might do well with it.
All right.
My six. Serena, Guzzlord.
Yep. Oh, no, I don't have that.
Zerkatry, Passimian, Primarina, and Vikavolt.
How do you not take Celesteela?
Because I don't.
All right. Well, I have Zerkatry, Serena, and Primarina.
Okay.
So who are your other three?
Guzzlord, Passimian. I thought you were going to take Kamo'o, and I thought it was going to be fun.
I did.
Okay. So Passimian, Guzzlord, and Vikavolt.
I have Celesteela, Kamo'o, and Drampa.
All right, well, Passimian beats Kamo'o.
Wrong, but we'll just wash those two out. Celesteela and Drampa, the Vikavolt, and...
All right, I lose, whatever. I will forfeit, because I know I lose.
Who was the other one?
Passimian.
Guzzlord. No, Guzzlord.
Oh, Guzzlord.
Guzzlord's strong.
Guzzlord, all right, so Drampa definitely takes out Vikavolt. That's fine.
And then Celesteela, Guzzlord, I think Celesteela wins.
I don't know. That's all I'm going to say is I don't know.
Celesteela strong. Okay, last ranking. We include all generations.
Except for the ones that we haven't done.
Yep, so Gen 1 through 7. We generate 15?
Yeah.
And create one more battle party.
I really hope Passimian's in this.
And Kamo'o. All right, here we go. 15 from Gens 1 through 7. And we can take 6 for our battle party. This is fucked. I would take this all day. All right, this is fire. We got Delphox, Mismagus, Parasect, Snorlax, Zatu, Meowstic, Tornadus, Ambipom, Groudon, Vivillon, Bellossom, Umbreon, Articuno, Regice, and Altaria.
Damn.
Yeah, for real, damn.
Boom. Boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room to spend the night together from now until forever. and boom. Am I happy with that?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. There's like one or two I'm like debating.
I'm happy with it. I'm sticking with it. Going with my gut.
I have no grass.
Neither do I. So that's fine.
Yeah, so neither of us took Blossom. All right.
I'm taking Snorlax.
Yep.
Groudon.
Yep.
Umbreon.
Yep.
Altaria.
No.
Articuno.
Yep.
Delphox.
Okay, so I was between Tornadus and Altaria, and I took Tornadus instead.
Okay. That was it?
Everything else is the same, yeah. And I was at the very end, I was like, do I want to take Tornadus or should I take Altaria? And I couldn't decide, so I ended up going with Tornadus. And I knew you weren't taking Tornadus because I know you don't like that whole line.
We did talk about that last week.
I knew.
Look at it.
I knew for sure you were not taking Tornadus. All of these is strong as fuck.
Yeah, but all of these look like Pokemon. And then there's this dude on a fucking cloud with the weirdest goddamn tail.
I knew you weren't taking Tornadus. I was pretty sure you would take Altaria in lieu of Tornadus.
Absolutely.
So Altaria is a super strong choice. So there's no question. But I don't know how the two of those would fare against one another.
I think Tornadus wins because I think flying is effective against
Dragon.
Dragon, yeah. So I think Tornadus takes that. But I could be mistaken. I know Ice and Fairy 100% are effective against Dragon. But I'm not 100% sure about flying.
No, I think it's, I think the stats of
Tornadus.
Yeah, just kind of blow Altaria out of the water.
Yeah, whatever. Unless I go Mega Altaria.
Yeah, but that wasn't one of the options.
No, well, I'm going to Mega Evolve it anyway.
Altaria is very strong, and I don't know definitively whether Altaria loses instantly to Tornadus. We'll have to figure out a way.
This one is the toss-up.
Well, yeah. We'll have to figure out a way at the end of all this, like when we get through Gen 9. Somebody let us know, please. Like, how do we do all these battles? We could probably do them in Poke 2, but we'd have to have, like, equal stat.
We also have to catch the Pokemon.
Yeah, I think I have most of them. Or we just spawn them. I can spawn them.
I have a bunch of Flabébés. I'm starting a Flabébé.
There's human error in that too, though, because we're choosing moves. It would have to be fully automated, like level 100 versus level 100, maxed out, max move sets.
I also have a Relar army.
There has to be some kind of, someone has to know this already. Like, which Pokemon would win 1v1? So, every Pokemon. There's got to be a way to learn that.
Somebody tell us.
Yeah, let us know.
How do we do that?
Oh, you know what I didn't do this week? Was say how much Ninetales is currently selling for.
I don't think anybody asked.
No, no one asked, but ooh, it actually looks like it went down a little bit. Let's see.
Sell now.
Went down.
Buy high, sell low.
Went down.
To what? $11?
Oh, this is LP. Why do they do this?
Why?
Why are you like this?
She's a player. Why?
1025, 1262, it's the same price. Oh. Just hasn't moved. Still between $11 and $13.
So, get yourself a Ninetales.
No, no, no. You should have got it when it was $6.
Yeah, so get it now before it becomes $6 again. Don't you want it?
Oh, yeah, buy high, sell low. That's the way.
That's the way.
Yep. That's all right.
Do.
That's that. Oh, that's shit. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Collective. This was super fun. Make sure you comment down below. Let us know who your favorite Marvel character is. First five people who say sticker are getting a holo sticker. And brush your teeth.
Random, but okay. Clip your toenails.
It's very important. Okay. I've been Collector.
I've been Perkis? What was it? I've been Zachmo.
Bye.
Bye.